Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today we are finishing out our series of messages in the book of James with James's comments about prayer. This is taken from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Prayer. Prayer is the quintessential practice of every Christian. Every Christian engages in prayer, just some a lot more than others. As I thought more about prayer, I was also reminded what the great reformer Martin Luther once said about it. He said, "To be Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Prayer is absolutely essential in the life of every Christian to maintain their spiritual health. The great evangelist Billy Graham was once reported to have said that prayer is powerful and effective, and I believe that God hears and answers our prayers. The only time my prayers are never answered is on the golf course. Scientists have long studied the effects of prayer and meditation on the brain, and even tell us that they can see different parts of the brain being stimulated when someone is engaged in prayer. But what does prayer actually do? What does it accomplish? What effect does it have on the person who is praying? Dr. Andrew Newberg of Thomas Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia has been studying the effects of prayer and meditation on the brain for more than 20 years now. To do this, he injects radioactive dye into a person's circulatory system and then tracks it and looks for changes in their brain's activity when they pray. Newberg doesn't claim that prayer is a cure-all, but he does believe that it is very beneficial in helping a patient through the healing process. In December 2014, Dr. Newberg was interviewed by ABC News. In that report, he showed how different parts of the brain were stimulated and would light up when a person engaged in prayer. "This is a brain on prayer," he would say as he points to his computer screen. Because of the areas of the brain that Newberg observed being stimulated, he suggests that prayer can cause changes in the physical body, which could stimulate and promote healing. Newberg's comments kind of remind me of that anti-drug commercial that used to run on TV quite a number of years ago. I'll bet a lot of you remember it as well. The scene opens in a kitchen, and on the stove is a hot frying pan. And the guy points to the frying pan and says, "This is drugs." Then he cracks open an egg into the pan, which immediately begins to pop and sizzle. Then he points to the egg and says, "And this is your brain on drugs." Then he looks into the camera and asks, "Any questions?" Scientists have long studied the effects of drugs on the brain. Recently, researchers have found that THC, the psychoactive compound in marijuana, can interrupt focus and memory, muddle the decision-making process, and will drastically reduce motivation for an individual for about 24 hours. A psychologist from Harvard's medical school recently told the New York Times that they could see structural effects in the brain from the use of marijuana. And these effects may last longer than anyone ever previously thought. Perhaps it's time to take a step back, to rethink, and reevaluate. Just maybe the push to legalize the use of marijuana may be somewhat premature, and we really need to find out more information. Back in the first century, James had the same belief as Dr. Newberg about the healing properties of prayer. "Are any among you sick?" he asked his fellow Christians. "Then they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." Prayer is powerful and effective, James says. Now, Dr. Newberg does not necessarily believe that a prayer will cure cancer or even get rid of a common cold, but he does leave room for God to act. However, he does believe, as do most Christians that science, hope, and prayer all work together in the healing process. So how does prayer work? And what does it actually do? Just what makes it, to quote James, powerful and effective? Does God answer prayer? Yes, I believe He does, without a doubt. Just not always in the way that we are expecting or perhaps would like Him to do so. And because of this, I believe we often miss seeing it when it does happen. The power of prayer comes not so much that it changes the circumstances that may be affecting us, although that is certainly possible, but that it changes us. When Dr. Newberg studied a group of Franciscan nuns who joined together in meditative prayer, he discovered that the area of the brain associated with the sense of self began to shut down or to be less stimulated. What he believes is that the person engaging in prayer begins to turn their focus toward God and the world around them, and when that happens, the focus on themselves is diminished. The conclusion of many medical professionals is that prayer changes the people who pray, making them more peaceful, more accepting, and aligned with their Christian convictions. Your brain on prayer may not cure cancer or convince God to cure you of your heart disease, but it does change people's attitudes so that they are better able to deal with and even overcome their health challenges. One of the most well-known modern prayers that has been around for a number of years now is the Serenity Prayer. I often see it framed and hanging on people's walls in their homes and offices. Many recovery groups and 12-step programs like AA or NA, weight loss groups, and self-help groups use it. They use this simple prayer in their meetings, and I would bet that most everyone here knows it. It goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Notice that in this prayer, God is not asked to heal or even act. What is asked for is serenity, courage, and wisdom. These are all things that change the attitude of the one praying so that they can become well and live life more fully and joyfully. One thing that is very prominent in the healing process for most of us is the need for forgiveness. We all need opportunities for honest confession and pardon in a safe setting, don't we? That is why James writes, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Confession, forgiveness, praying for others, asking for healing. These are all important parts of a prayer. The Serenity Prayer has been used by millions the world over. But if we pray this prayer, what are we asking God to do? The outcome of the prayer is not that we are asking God to change what is taking place in our lives or even change our circumstances, but that the hearts and attitudes of the person who prays it are changed. Prayer often encourages us to take our focus away from ourselves and our problems, and instead it redirects our focus toward the needs of others. It motivates us to take action and to do for ourselves what we can, and then to turn over the rest of the things that are outside of our control to God. Prayer aligns us with the will of God for healing and wholeness in our lives, even when we may find ourselves in some very difficult circumstances, like perhaps the death of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or even facing a terminal illness. Prayer reduces our anxiety and calms our spirits. Remember what James writes, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." Verse 15. There is one thing I can say without any doubt about every single person who's listening to me today. We are all in the process of dying. Some of us are just a lot farther down the road than others. But one day we must all face the inevitable fact of our own mortality. One day we will all die of something. For some, it will be a terminal illness like cancer or a heart attack. For others, it might be some sort of an accident. Some will die far too young, and others will make it to a ripe old age. Taking care of yourself with good diet and exercise will certainly add to your quality of life, and it has been proven to add years to your life as well. But in the end, it will only delay the inevitable. But this does not mean that we should not pray for others or pray for the Lord to help us and confess our sins so that we might be forgiven. We need to do these things, and prayer can bring us peace. Prayer can also heal us, even when it does not cure us of our illnesses. Prayer changes our brains. Prayer also changes our attitudes as well, turning us into people who get outside of ourselves to form deeper connections with God and with the people around us. Prayer is powerful and effective because it gives us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Prayer also gives us the opportunity to confess our sins and to receive forgiveness from God, freeing us from the shackles of guilt and regret that can weigh us down and take the joy out of our lives. So say a prayer for someone today. It will not only be good for the person you are praying for, but it will bring healing and wholeness into your life as well. Let's call to mind that old anti-drug commercial once again. But instead of a man standing in front of the stove, picture a man sitting quietly with his head bowed and his eyes closed in meditation. The result of this image is not something that looks anything like a fried egg. Instead, it produces the image of a person that is focused, contemplative, serene, thankful, and not stressed out, but at peace. And who knows, the person praying may even experience healing. If James was writing his letter today, he might end this part of it by saying, "This is your brain on prayer. Any questions?" So please, don't neglect your prayer life. It is so important for every Christian to have an active prayer life, because this is the foundation of a healthy spiritual life, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.